I feel like I'm on iCarly.
What? Oh, can I be Sam? Like,
3, 2. You know what? Who I always confuse, and you can tell me if you think they look alike at all, but I always confuse Jeanette McCurdy and Sabrina Carpenter. I don't know why. Like, they look so similar to me.
I mean, they're both blonde.
No, but they're both like the same high curly blonde hair. Like, I don't know. And I feel like I always got them confused.
Sabrina Carpenter's hair isn't even curly. It's like wavy at most.
Yeah. I don't know.
But I feel like it's, I can relate to like just like when you have a certain hair color and everyone thinks you look like anyone with that hair color. And it's like,
no, it's not just that. I don't know why. I felt like for some reason they were both in Nickelodeon stuff. And so I feel like
Sabrina Carpenter was Nickelodeon?
Yes, she was in a couple of Nickelodeon movies.
Interesting. I didn't know that. I don't know. I know old Nickelodeon a lot better.
Oh, no. She wasn't. I mean, she wasn't in old too much, but she's been in a couple of Nickelodeon movies.
I just knew her from Girl Meets World.
She hasn't been in any shows.
Yeah, no, I don't see that.
Yeah. How did we get here?
You just started talking about how you feel like you're on iCarly.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Oh, okay, so I have a story to tell you. My mom told me this story, and I was like, holy cow, that's crazy. So there's this guy who was a part of the soccer team. I don't know the soccer team in Brazil. I don't know, like, the too much of a detail. I just kind of know the national team. But anyways, there's this guy that in 2016 survived a plane crash that had 71 people in it. And no, I'm sorry. It killed 71 people. And he was one of like 19 that like survived it.
Jeez.
And most of them were like people on his team, which kind of stinks. So that happened.
Passed away?
Huh?
That died?
Yeah, that were like on his team. Like a lot of them were part of those 71 people. So that happened. And then just a couple months ago, that same guy was on a bus and like the bus had some freak accident and like how many people died? 21 people died after it. And again, he survived. And I was like, this man, this is not his time to go. That is so crazy. And both were like freak accidents.
I don't
like,
know if I would be happy.
What are like, the odds?
Obviously you're not happy, but I don't know if I would be like, God's on my side or if I would think like, something's after me.
Yeah. I don't know too much about this guy. I had never even heard of him, but I was like, whoa, that's kind of terrifying. I feel like I would never go on any
coincidence.
I wouldn't go on any kind of,
I mean, how do you exist? You have
just
to
walk around everywhere.
You could get hit by something.
Yeah.
Stay inside.
I thought that was an interesting story. To be fair, I haven't looked really into this story. I literally just searched it up like 5 minutes ago, but my mom was telling me about it.
No, that's interesting.
I forgot everything. I forgot the names and stuff. But
very interesting.
Yeah, pretty interesting.
I have nothing for you.
This is like the opposite. Usually you have more stuff
and
I'm like, I got
like
nothing.
I have a million things. I just can't think of any of them right now.
That's all good. The good news is that this week is not a haunted, scary episode, so I'm in a better mood.
Whatever. We are gonna play a game soon though.
We're gonna play a game
that Jan found on TikTok.
Oh yeah.
This is cool. We can tell them about it. I feel like you probably understand it better than me.
No, you got it.
Okay, Jan, correct me if I'm wrong. So what you do is you pick like a cheesy classic scary story. So you got like the brainy girl, the dumb blonde, like, you know, that kind of like
the jock,
the
nerdy one,
guy who's just so misunderstood and like whatever, antisocial. And you watch 20 minutes of it and then you stop. And with your group of friends, you make a list of the order you think people are going to die.
Yep.
And it's kind of like, I would compare it to a fantasy league where you're trying to like get it right and you get
except you're rooting for people to die
or not to die because you think they're gonna live till the end or whatever.
True.
So we're gonna do that this weekend where we because I feel like we all kind of have a little bit different perspectives, so I think we'll have different answers.
Unless it's one of those movies that is like so obvious, like if it's super cheesy, it might be very obvious.
Yeah, I think that it'll definitely come down to what movie we pick.
Yeah,
like we have to pick one that's kind of obscure, and we won't be able to like just figure out right away.
Which would be even better because of how trashy it.
Which I've
be.
Seen a lot of those, so finding one that I haven't seen is going to be kind of hard because I'll have a leg up if I know the ending, obviously.
Yeah, true. But we'll let you guys know how it goes next week.
Yeah, we'll let you know.
Cool. I think we're ready to flip our coin. You called it last time.
Did I?
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
Go for it.
Tails. Don't I have to do it when it's like in the air? I don't know if it matters.
I mean, it doesn't really matter.
Hey, finally. Wait, oh no. Last time I started, didn't I? I don't remember. Great, let's get started. Okay, so the story that I have, I was telling Gianna about it earlier. I told you this too earlier, but I was telling him about it, and he was like, no, you've done this story. And I'm like, there's no way, like, we're not that far into this that I've done this story before. And he was like, oh, Ash did this story. And I was like, no, like, there's no way. So if I say this person's name and you're like, yeah, we did, I literally have lost my mind.
We're just going to, I'm going to give you a signal, but we're just going to roll with it. If it see if anyone notices.
I don't think so. I think I looked this up a while ago and told him about this. And then.
I'm so nervous.
I'm nervous too now, but I'm like, there's no way. Okay. Anyways, have you heard of Kendrick Johnson? And me talking about it. You could have heard about this, but.
I mean, maybe. I'm so
teenager, high school. Okay. No, we're good. You would have known if I've done this story before. Yes. Do you know the story?
We have not done this.
But you, okay, that's fine. As long as you know it and we didn't do it this before, I'm not crazy.
No, I've almost done this story like 5 times.
Me too. Why? What's so weird? Why do we? That's
weird. Just really wanted to do it justice and do it well.
Oh, Lord. And like, I hope I do it well.
No, I'm sure you will. It was times when I was like, this is just, this
it's case a lot.
Makes me so mad and like, yeah. It's so frustrating.
Oh, okay. Don't tell me your opinion yet.
Okay.
Because this is like, I feel like this is one of those that there's so many opinions.
Yeah.
And so many biases. So.
What I'll do, because I want to do a better job of this too, is I'll let you just tell the whole story
and
before
then tell
kind
me
of
after.
Saying. Because I like weigh in like halfway through. And people are probably like, that's great, but shut up. So I'll just wait till you're done.
Okay. I'm interested.
I'm sure I'll have other thoughts, but my opinion what happened.
What happened. Okay, cool. Obviously, this story, it doesn't end well, so. Sad story, but the story is about Kendrick Johnson. He was a 17-year-old boy from Valdosta, Georgia, which I've never heard of that city before.
Valdosta?
Is that how? Oh, I spelled it wrong. I'm so sorry.
We just travel to Georgia all the time. That's the reason.
Okay, that. So Kendrick's family described him as a quiet boy who loved sports. He played on the school's football team. And his mom says that he was the joy of the house. He was the funny one, always made them laugh. So he seemed like somebody who was shy in like groups of people, but like, when he really got to know you, he was like the class clown kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So the story takes place in Lowndes County. I watched a video on how they pronounce this, and I don't remember now. Lowndes County? I don't know. I'm sorry. In Georgia, in Lowndes High School. So on January 11th, 2013, Kendrick was found dead inside a wrestling mat inside the high school's gym. That night, he was supposed to be at a sports event after school, and then he had planned to come home right after. But about 10 p.m., his mom realized he wasn't home yet and decided to drive to the school. She drove around the school. She went inside, asked people, and she couldn't really figure out what was happening. So by midnight, she decided to call 911 and reported Kendrick as missing. The next morning, Kendrick's mom went to the school. She asked admin, asked everybody about Kendrick, and then also put up missing flyers around the school with permission from administration, which I'm actually kind of cool that they did that. I'm very surprised that they did that early on. I feel like most of the stories where we hear about like, oh, missing people, no one ever like gives it the time of day.
Yeah, I remember the first time I heard this story thinking, would my school have done that?
Right? It's, no, I feel like it wouldn't.
I feel like it's so tricky.
It is. But I'm glad that they did.
No, I'm so glad they do. I feel like more schools should lean on that.
Yeah.
Because it's like, what do you have to lose?
Yeah.
You put that up and then they were just skipping. Whatever.
Exactly.
Who cares?
But it's surprising for less than 24 hours for a school to be okay with doing
awesome.
That.
That's awesome. Yeah.
So yeah, she did all of that. But then at 10:30 a.m. that same morning, a PE class entered the gym and a couple of students noticed there was a sock sticking out of one of the wrestling mats. The mat was upright, so if you don't know what a wrestling mat looks like, I don't know.
It's kind of like a cinnamon.
Oh,
I was gonna say it's kind of like a cinnamon roll or like some kind of Swiss roll where it's like rolled up.
You roll it long ways, and then sometimes to store it
and
because it
heavy
occupies.
As
oh
heck.
My gosh, yeah, they're very heavy. So to put that upright takes like a couple people to do that.
Yeah,
but. It was upright and the students realized there was someone in there. And so they frantically brought the mat down, which kind of stinks because they obviously didn't know that there was a dead person in there. And so that kind of messed with the like evidence of it all. Like after you moved
it. Right. You don't know exactly how But I also, you know, you understand why people do
that. Oh, yeah,
they
for
don't
sure.
Know.
They might have just thought, oh, someone's stuck in there. Like, yeah, that's an obvious reaction. So they brought it down. The moment they brought it down, they smelled something really, a really bad smell. And so they realized it was a dead body. They immediately told the teachers, and the school went into lockdown, and the police was called. Kendrick's mom was actually still inside the school when this happened. So she was still talking to, like, admin and stuff. And she was told through the school that her son was found inside the gym, which is so horrible. It's like people in the school system are not, like, prepared to, like, have that conversation with a parent.
Yes and no. I mean, people in schools have a lot harder conversations than you would think.
That's true. That's
and they
true.
Are equipped
It's one
and
of those
trained.
Things that it's like,
you shouldn't have to do it. Yeah. But with the way our society is, schools have to do a lot of that stuff.
I almost wonder, though, if it was a situation where, like, especially in a high school with students, it's like word gets out. It's like, how messy was that to get to her? You know what I mean?
If she was there talking to admin, they probably were able to. Like, and that's probably the reason why they told her, because as soon as she walks out that
that's
door,
true.
They have no control over.
Oh,
who
yeah,
could
because
tell her.
It would have probably been.
So, I mean, everywhere. They probably would have been advised, like, go ahead and tell her.
Yeah, that's true. So yeah, she was there. That's how she found out. So Kendrick's body was found upside down in an inverted position inside the mat where, again, it was sitting upright. His arms were down by his body. So mm-hmm. I don't know if you've ever really looked into this. I didn't watch the full video, but there are, like, lots of photos and, like, a walkthrough video of, like, police from the outside of the school mm-hmm. coming in, going to the gym, and, like, literally recording, like, the body for like evidence purposes and stuff like that. But it's mm-hmm. crazy how this stuff is all just, like, out there. It's like, it's a lot. Yeah. It's a lot to take in. I didn't watch the whole video because I could not, but yeah, there's a lot of videos and pictures that are online. So side note, a lot of the boys that did sports or had, like, gym classes, when they didn't want to pay for lockers, they would stick their, like, items, like shoes and stuff, inside the gym mats because they figured a lot of people wouldn't, like, look through it and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And so they also, which I get this in high school, in high school too, they also did it because they would, like, share shoes sometimes. So, like, we would have gym together, or you'd have gym the next period. I'd be like, oh, you want to switch shoes? And I'd put it in there, and then you'd get there and switch mm-hmm. it out kind
that
of thing.
Sense.
So they used to do a lot of that too. So it wasn't uncommon to see, like, other people's belongings in the mats. So inside the gym with Kendrick was two pairs of shoes and a notebook. One of the pairs of shoes was inside the mat. One of them, so two pairs of shoes. One of the pairs of shoes, the one of the shoes in there, that's so confusing, was right by his head, and the other was right outside the mat by his feet. The other pair of shoes was outside on the gym floor, but this is one of, like, the weirdest things about this case, is the black and white gym shoe that lay right below Kendrick's, like, feet, the one he was presumed to be reaching for, was lying on top of a pool of blood, but there was no blood on the shoe itself, which is weird. There was also a hoodie and a pair of orange and black gym shoes lying on the gym floor. And there were traces of blood on the wall nearby. Investigators tested the blood.
Gosh.
They tested the blood and revealed that it didn't belong to Kendrick. Mm-hmm. They also reported that the blood had likely been there for a long time. They didn't take the hoodie, the shoes, or, like, any of that into evidence, which is, I think that's weird. Like, even if it's old blood, like, I don't know. I feel like that's, like, it's still blood. Why would it be on the gym wall?
It's a strange enough circumstance to
look into it.
Assume something crazy might have happened. So yeah, you would take anything you can.
But they didn't, like, they tested and said it wasn't his, but they didn't find obviously any match for, like, whose it was. That's so weird to me. But yeah, they didn't take any of the other stuff in the gym for evidence, which I can say, like, I've been inside school gyms, like, after kids have left, and, like, they leave things, like, I would leave things in high school in the gym. It happens, but I feel like you said, in this kind of situation, just take it all for evidence. Like, why not?
Yeah, you gotta have, like, a perimeter where inside this, we're taking everything. And then, obviously, the entire gym, you're not taking every single item, but there's around that area.
Yeah, especially people's belongings. It's like, why not just look into it?
Yeah, I mean, if my jacket was found near a dead body, I would be fine with them.
For real. But yeah, so that was all in the gym with him. So after an autopsy was done on Kendrick, it was ruled that he had died of suffocation. So the sheriff's office ruled that this was an accident. What they assumed was that what that Kendrick was doing was trying to reach for the pair of shoes inside the mat and got stuck inside. But it's weird. Like, he was found with his arms by his body, like, down. And if you're trying to reach for something, wouldn't your arms be in front of you, like, at least reaching for something? Yeah, but, like, both of them weren't, which is weird. Yeah. But the other thing, too, is, so it was upright, meaning I guess somebody could have put it upright after he went in there, but I feel like I've seen them. I think they're about 6 feet tall. Like, if you're trying to reach for something, were you going to climb that and go down? Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I...
Unless he reached for it, got stuck, and then someone didn't realize and, like, yes, put it up.
Yes, so that's
but it's like, other how do you not realize that?
He fell in, it was sideways, someone didn't realize, and they put it...
I don't know how you don't realize that. I don't know. I think it's weird. But, yeah, I don't know. So, I've kind of already went ahead of myself, but... The width of the inside of the mat was smaller than the width of his shoulders, which is already kind of weird of, like, why would he kind of force it in there? Like, why would he force himself in there? That was weird. Oh, here it is. The mat was around 6 feet tall when rolled up, and there was a diameter of 14-inch hole, so not that big. Kendrick's shoulders measured 19 across, and he was 5 feet 10 inches tall. So he wasn't that short compared to the mat, but I still feel like that's a process to climb up there if it was already upright.
Yeah, and well, and if you're going in something, you would likely want to be taller than it already, so that you could kind of lean in. I don't know. I mean,
I feel like that would be very hard to climb it because it's heavy, but it's not that sturdy. If you tried climbing it would like tip over.
If it's heavy, you would want to just knock it over and unroll it to get whatever's in it.
It's weird. I don't know. So when Kendrick's body was found, it wasn't in the best shape. Just a trigger warning for what I'm about to say next. His death was ruled a suffocation, but his head didn't look like it. So I'm not going to go into details, but basically the sheriff's office explained that by saying he was upside down for about 21 hours, all the blood rushed to his head and made it bloated. So a lot of people were saying, like, oh my gosh, there's no way this is an accident because he looks so bad. But that's what the sheriff's office explained it as. Like, of course it's going to, because if he's hanging upside down for that long, the blood's going to rush to your head. It's not going to look great.
Right.
Johnson's parents were suspicious of Kendrick's parents. Johnson's his last name. Kendrick's parents were suspicious of the investigation from the beginning. They believed that the sheriff's department was too quick to rule out foul play as a cause for Johnson's death. Considering that within 24 hours of finding Kendrick, they concluded that it was an accident. So it was a very quick turnaround. I feel like there's enough weird stuff about this to, like, take a little bit longer. But, I mean, we've seen millions of cases where they do this all the time. So I'm not surprised, but I get why they'd be suspicious about it.
I mean, the motivators are you don't necessarily want a murder in a high school.
Yep.
So if there's anything you can point to.
Yeah.
If there's any kind of corruption, you're going to just go that way.
Yep. Yeah. The Johnsons were also sure that their son's body had been moved, which was corroborated by the Lowndes County coroner, Bill Watson, which just goes back to what we were talking about, where it was like, how did he climb it? Was it moved? Blah, blah, blah. So Georgia state law dictates that the coroner be contacted immediately on discovery of a body, but Watson claimed that he was not notified until 6 hours later. That could have been like just miscommunication. I don't know, but it is weird, like, to wait 6 hours and then, like, let the coroner know. But
remind me, you might get to this later, but I can't remember. Did they have surveillance?
Yes. In the gym? Okay. I'll get to that. Yep. I, like, referred multiple articles, so I feel like a lot of this is I'm jumping around a bit, but I tried as much as possible to keep it in the same, like, mm-hmm. It's just there's a lot of information. So, obviously, the Johnson parents argued and said if this was an accident, how could no one have heard Kendrick call for help in a high school of over 3,000 students?
Right.
Which I totally understand. Like, if you're, especially if you got stuck, like, there's classes going on, and even if there isn't, I feel like, I don't know, maybe the school is just weird, but I feel like at least at my high school, there was always people in the gym, whether that was coaches, right, teachers, yeah, admin, like, students, it was always something going on during school hours.
Yeah, for sure.
But I don't know. So the parents thought that sheriff's office was not taking his death seriously, and obviously they got frustrated. So their parents also released a photo to the media of Kendrick's face as he lay in the funeral home, which later would come to hurt them. I guess I'll just say it now, because the photo taken was at the funeral home after the autopsy. And so he did not look good at all.
Yeah.
And they were putting it out to make it seem like the picture was taken when he was found, so that it would look worse, to be like, how could somebody do this to him, kind of thing. But when people found that out, they were like, you're trying to make this worse than it is. Obviously horrible accident, not accident. I don't know, whatever it is. But it was just like a sketch. Like, why would you say that?
Which I would kind of, the way that I kind of took it is they feel like they're just not being heard.
Yeah.
So what they presume to have happened, they're trying to elicit that response from everyone else, whatever means necessary. And just because there is some kind of, something to discredit what they were putting out there.
Yeah.
People discredit everything they're saying, and it's messier than that.
Yeah, I agree. I think their parents were obviously trying to fight for the truth and fight for him. Mm-hmm. And I totally understand that. But there are a couple things that they did that I feel like, obviously it makes sense. They acted very emotionally, and obviously that's your kid. Like, I 100% get that, but it ended up hurting them legally. Cause it was like, oh, like,
you're not thinking logically.
Yeah, no, which I get, but legally that doesn't help you.
Yeah.
But yeah. So on May 8th, 2013, a judge granted Kendrick Johnson's body to be exhumed. A private pathologist was hired to carry out a second autopsy. This time the autopsy revealed that Kendrick had suffered hemorrhaging on the right side of his neck, which meant that he had likely died from blunt force trauma.
Yeah.
The pathologist concluded his death was not an accident. So there is a lot of controversy on this too, because he did have hemorrhaging on his neck, but again, he was upside down for 21 hours. So you can't really 100% say that that was like blunt force. Also, there was a bruise on the side of his neck, which people say like, oh, that's where he got hit or something. But a lot of people also say the bruise was only like, was less than an inch big. So people are like, there's no way that if it was hit that much of a surface area in your body that you would die from that.
Mm-hmm.
So there's so much back and forth with like things like this. I feel like that's this whole case. It's like a back and forth.
Right.
But that's one of the things.
I mean, anytime you have a point, there's going to be a counterpoint.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So on top of this, a second autopsy revealed that some of Kendrick's organs were missing, and in their place, his body had been stuffed with newspaper. So this is such a mess, but
yeah.
The Georgia Bureau of Investigations claimed that when the body was sent to the funeral home after the first autopsy, Kendrick's organs had been put back inside the body. But the coroner said these organs were not sent to the funeral home because they were too decomposed and were instead disposed of beforehand. Which, again, more controversy on this, because people were saying like it really hadn't been that long until they found his body. So it's like, were his organs really that bad? Or are you trying to hide something?
And
I've heard
I mean, it's Murder Squad, so he obviously was involved in the Golden State Killer. He kind of spoke to the fact that this does happen, and it happens a lot where they do this. And so
I think it's just
not necessarily common knowledge.
Yeah.
So it struck people as very strange. Weird. And like, oh, you're hiding something. But that detail of the case does happen, and it's not that weird. It's just because there's other weird
stuff
things
going
around
on.
It.
And I recognize that, like, especially with like a death in general, there's so many different people working in different areas for this. And so it's like someone's going to mess up. Like someone's going to call it like, oh, yeah, these are too bad. Let's throw them away. Or like, I don't know, something's going to happen. It's not going to be a perfect.
Well, and if you're getting it down the line that it's an accident.
Yeah.
You don't think there's anything you need to preserve. Or,
exactly. So they're not really thinking about it.
That's like one in 100 you get a day. Like,
exactly. Yeah. So the funeral home said that it received the body without organs. So they replaced it with newspaper, which is something that's also frustrating about this case is every time I've looked, not every time, but a lot of the articles I looked it up, it was like one of the main things listed, and it makes it seem like someone like murdered him and did that. But this was like an after the fact, like at a funeral home.
That
and
happens.
It's common if, especially if organs are missing, the body looks very strange for funerals, so they have to like stuff it. Mm-hmm. The weird thing is that newspaper was something very old that people used to do. Like a mm-hmm. lot of people don't do that anymore. But I also saw that apparently the funeral home like took care of Kendrick's body for free for the parents as like a gift kind of thing. And so they were probably trying to save money and not use.
I mean, it totally depends on the funeral home.
Yes. And it may not have been like a super nice funeral home. So it's like, it's weird. Sure. But like this happens all the time kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where did I go? The Johnsons did try to sue the funeral home for mishandling their son's body and perhaps having done so in order to cover up his true cause of death. But this case was dropped for obvious reasons. I mean, we just talked about it.
Right.
The Georgia investigation thing did look into. I started abbreviating things and then I don't understand what I wrote. But they did look into the funeral home and concluded they had done nothing wrong.
Yeah.
I talked about this, the outdated newspaper. I keep getting ahead of myself. I think it's because I've researched the story so much that
I feel like I know the next thing. So I'm like asking questions and you're like jumping ahead because.
So regardless, the organs were lost and so they couldn't do anything about it, and this kind of made the parents even more suspicious because they were like, this is weird, could be a cover-up kind of thing. And because of this, Matthew Moore, the U.S. attorney for the Middle District of Georgia, announced a formal review of the case. The Johnsons hoped for a coroner's inquest, which would begin the process of reclassifying the cause of Kendrick's death as non-accidental and reopening the investigation. The request, though, was denied, even though the coroner, Bill Watson, had originally expressed a lack of confidence in the sheriff department's handling of the case. So Bill Watson was who said, like, the whole blunt trauma thing to the neck. And so even with all of that, it was denied.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here's when the footage thing that you brought up comes up. So CNN gained access to the school security footage on the day that Kendrick was killed. Whatever you want to guess happened to him, but upon viewing it realized that it offered little insight into what happened that day.
Mm-hmm.
The cameras which faced the mats were unfocused and skipped around. All that could be seen from the cameras was Kendrick walking towards the gym and then several seconds of footage of him jogging within the gym. He was never shown within or leaving the gym, and indeed he did not show up for his following classes. So obviously he didn't show up for his classes, which means he never left that first initial footage, but there's no in between. There's a lot of skipping. I have more detail though. So a whole hour of footage from the gym was missing right at the time, which would have shed light on what happened that day.
And that's another point I've heard a lot is people wanting to study the footage before that, like a day before, a week before, and see, does it skip around like this normally?
And it doesn't.
Or is it just this one spot where
it's so weird. So apparently a lot of the, I think it is. It's kind of weird, but apparently a lot of the footage too was also corrupted. And so when they tried retrieving the stuff, it wouldn't play. Like it was there as a file, but it was corrupted in some kind of way. And so they couldn't even see it, which could be done. Like someone could have done that.
Also, in schools, we need to have, like,
better cameras. There's so many stupid things that happen in school.
If there is one place we need really good, like, surveillance, it's school.
It's school. High school, for sure. So
middle school, whatever.
Yeah. To be more specific, there was 4 cameras in the gym, and 2 of them had footage that ran all day. 2 of them stopped at 12:04 p.m. and then continued again at 1:09 p.m., so about an hour. The other 2 cameras stopped at 11:05 a.m. and then continued again at 1:15 p.m. They couldn't figure out why it skipped, but goes to show like it ran the whole day perfectly and then right at that time stopped, which was weird. So this finding further increased the confidence of doubters that this death was an accident. Mm-hmm. There's also no footage of the initial discovery of Kendrick's body. So the students that found him, there's no footage of that.
Yeah.
Which is another
weird. Then it's
weird.
Like, how long do you know how long he was vertical?
Yeah,
because when did they flip him over?
But also, could this be a situation where if someone did this to him, they told someone, and then that was someone was like, oh my gosh, I gotta go? Like, I don't know.
I mean,
there's
so
many
lot of variables, but as far as saying, oh, all the blood rushed to his head and he was like that for 21 hours or whatever you want to say,
yep,
how do you know when they flipped him over if you don't have proof of that time? If
you
don't have footage.
You just have the students' like account and the teachers that
they
told.
Which they could say at any point.
Exactly, yeah. So in 2014, Kendrick's parents filed a wrongful death suit against the school's officials, alleging that Johnson had been harassed by a student, which went neglected by the school, perhaps due to his race. Apparently, the student that was harassing him would bully Kendrick in front of coaches, in front of lots of students. So there was lots of accounts that he did this. I've watched some of these interviews. So there's a couple interviews of the student and his brother, and they ask him if they're involved at all with Kendrick's death, and they say nope. And then they follow that with, we were really close to Kendrick, which, like, to many people, including his parents and other friends at the school, is like, they weren't close. Like, he was definitely bullied by this guy. Which is just like, why would you say that? Like, why would you, it might've been like, you're scared and you're trying to be like, no, it was his friend. But it's like, even if you did or didn't do that, like, why would you say that?
Yeah.
Like, it's okay if you didn't like him and you, not okay, but like, just say that. Like, yeah, we didn't get along. I did bully him, but I didn't kill him.
I mean, it gets.
Yeah. There's so much. There's so much.
It's opinion based. But yeah. To me, the more common response doesn't mean that they were hiding something.
Yeah.
But would be, he was a great guy, whatever. Yeah. To say you're close is a little
when
bit
you
more
clearly
of a,
were not.
It's a contradicting claim to like what other people are saying.
Yeah.
Because that's, I mean, there's only a few people I would say I'm close to.
Yeah.
Like that's.
And you like, I feel like it's, you would kind of know that if they asked anybody else and this was like an obvious thing, that they would say that you were not even friends, like, or acquaintances or whatever.
Yeah.
But. Okay, so it was assumed that what happened to Kendrick happened after 1 p.m. because of the footage. Brandon, who was one of the students that they said was bullying him, apparently had a wrestling match at 4 p.m. And apparently the bus at the school left at 12:30 p.m. So he would have gotten on the bus at 12:30 p.m. to go to another place for this wrestling match. So that's kind of his alibi. I don't think there's 1,000% proof of what time the bus left. It's just like, hey, the bus usually leaves around this time kind of thing.
Yeah,
I which mean, it's close. 12:30, like, right. That's pretty close. So a magazine called Ebony described the murder of Kendrick to have been at the hands of the two white brothers, Brandon and Brian Bell. They didn't say their names in the magazine, but they described them very detailed. And so it was like they did this on purpose so that people could know who they were.
Did they claim like they did this or that they that was their opinion?
It's one of those things where it's like it's in their magazine, so it's their opinion. But they were like, no, they did this. Yeah. Like it was one
I think
of like
I think that's a little irresponsible.
You're yes, about high you don't have 100% proof. You could be ruining these guys' life if they didn't
do it. You
have
to be really careful. And you can point to, you know, these two students who said that they were close to him actually were like, you know, quotes from other people, whatever, and point to what actually happened.
You can't.
But then if you take the step of saying, hey, they did this, like that's irresponsible.
Yeah, I agree. And it's like, sure, if they bullied him or were mean to him, obviously wrong. But like, this is a totally different like thing if you're accusing of them of killing him. Like, that's a lot.
Yeah.
But. They kind of described them in detail, and so everyone realized that that's who they were talking about. And they in the article, they also said that they had been fighting for over a year about a girl, and the fight had just escalated. No one really knows what girl they're talking about. Like, there's no details on that. So it could be all false and just something that they were trying to, like, get more, like, not, I was going to say views, but that doesn't work in magazines. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The Johnsons, the family, also accused the brother's father, who was an FBI agent at the time. They claimed that he was covering up the murder by manipulating the school and authorities involved at investigating Johnson's death. I feel like that's another, like, fuel to the fire. If you think a little bit and you're like, oh, the dad's an FBI agent. It's like, oh, sure, he's covering it up. Which could have happened, but it also couldn't. And it's like, I don't know. I don't think there's enough proof to say that it was these guys. So that's my opinion. It could have happened, but it also couldn't have. But I don't think there's enough proof for it. So in August of 2014, Brandon and Brian's parents filed a $5 million lawsuit against Ebony magazine because they claimed their sons were getting harassed for this accusation. Obviously, like, you claimed that these two students killed somebody. So I don't blame them for suing them. The other weird thing that people point to is that the boys refused to be any help into the investigation. So they weren't cooperative at all with any like actual interviews by police and all this stuff. They just decided not to comment on it. A lot of people said it's just because their parents were. I mean, his dad was an FBI agent, so it's like, hey, we're not getting involved in this kind of thing. But I don't know. I mean, I think it's kind of weird. I feel like if there's anything that I could have done to help figure something out, I would. But I don't know. I think that's kind of weird.
I mean, strictly on that subject, I don't know, because that is a snowball effect where, I mean, look at all the cases we've covered where somebody says one thing and then...
Yeah, but you could have like a lawyer next to you. Like you could be presented. Absolutely. Your dad's an FBI agent. He has like...
Yeah, and I think probably because of things that he's seen.
Yeah.
Whether he thinks they're guilty or not, he's going to tell them, don't even go near it.
Yeah, I get that. I feel like especially after the magazine portrayed them as that already.
Yeah, because you say one thing that makes sense or something that is just a...
Yeah.
Normal thing and it gets
But
twisted.
The weird thing is there's multiple interviews of them on like TV. They just didn't talk to police, but they would like talk about it in front of the TV.
Yeah, probably a situation where like they got isolated and kind of cornered and they didn't have anyone there.
One of them was like right outside their house. Yeah. I'm like, why would you open the door if you saw paparazzi?
Maybe they were home alone or whatever. Like,
yeah.
It's probably something where they're not understanding the gravity of it, but and then
their parents and his dad is just like, don't
like,
do it.
Interrogation
setting.
Situation where they have to have the parents' permission, they have more control over. Like,
yeah, I can see that. So this kind of sucks for them if it's not true, but Brandon was, this is kind of a side note, Brandon was offered a full scholarship to FSU to play as a linebacker for their football team, but a year after Kendrick's death, it was revoked because the school didn't want to potentially bring on a suspect for murder, which sucks if he didn't do this. Like, that's so sad.
Well, and... The biggest thing that I've heard with this is, did the police actually say he was a suspect?
No, but because there was so much talk about it, they just didn't even want to go there. They're like, we don't want to do this if there's a maybe potential that he could be.
Yeah, and I've seen scholarships revoked for lesser things.
That's
so
true.
It's one
but
of those.
But it must suck if it's like, if you know you didn't. Obviously, there are other, like, people get freaking, like, put in prison for things that they didn't do. Obviously that sucks, but it does suck like as a student to have this amazing opportunity and then it's like you didn't do this and that happened to you.
At minimum, they were actively bullying someone.
That's
so
true.
Don't function that way.
That's true.
And you won't be in that
you won't
position.
Be suspect. That's true. So in 2015, the Johnsons filed a 100 million civil lawsuit against 30 people, including three of their son's classmates, the school, the local crime lab, state and federal officials, five agents of the GBI, an FBI agent, and more. The parents asserted that the sons of the FBI agent killed Johnson and used their connections to cover up the investigation. So that's what I was talking about in the beginning, where they acted very quickly. And so they filed this huge lawsuit against 38 people who were just like the tiniest bit, maybe not even suspects, but like they just thought like, oh, you're doing this all wrong. And so they filed this big lawsuit and it's like, whoa, like you don't have evidence like enough to do that. Like you're not going to win.
Yeah.
I feel like that's one of those, like, legally it's like, did you talk to a lawyer about
like
this?
Like they're fishing with a wide net. Instead
of So Johnson's father admitted that he had no hard evidence to back up any of these claims and the Johnsons had to drop the suit. They were sued for more than $850,000 in attorney fees and more than $1 million in defamation charges. They were ultimately ordered by a judge to pay close to $300,000 worth of lawyer's fees to those they had accused with no evidence. That's a lot of money. Like, you just filed this huge lawsuit and then you're like, oh, never mind, I don't have that much evidence. And then you're charged for like a whole bunch of fees because you did that. Like, that's a lot. I feel so bad. Like, that's so much. But it's like, oh, why'd you do that? But I already talked about that. Okay. So in June 2016, the Department of Justice announced no charges would be filed against anyone in relation to Kendrick's death, considering there was insufficient evidence to support federal criminal charges. As far as the...
It's just so frustrating when it's like, we're not going to do our job appropriately and collect the evidence. And then later,
there's not enough evidence.
It's like, you didn't collect the evidence. Mm-hmm. So that's why there's insufficient evidence.
Like, yeah. And I understand the frustration of the parents of acting like this, because it is something where it's like, hey, there's enough here. There's not concrete evidence, but there's enough here to be like, like, this doesn't sound like, there's a lot to be like, this is fishy kind of thing. And so I get their frustration of not looking into it.
Like marginalized. And like, if it was someone else, you would care more. And so you're dealing with a response of just trying to reach for anything and point to anything.
You're trying to get attention. After
anyone because you feel like people are just kind of placating you and saying, okay, be quiet. Mm-hmm. And you've been treated like that forever. Exactly. So it's one of those things that's easy to be like, oh, why'd you make that move? Why'd you do that?
It's like hard for me to be like, oh, why did you make that? Because I feel like they were already like in a bad position of people not believing them. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, oh, this is hurting you more. Like, I feel bad because it's like, you could take different routes to get that. But I don't know. I just feel bad because it hurt them more than
But you're fighting them. Against a process that is set up to knock you down at every point because they're trying to preserve them, whether it's from the school, families that have connections, like every point they're prepared for that kind of thing.
Yeah. And so, and it's one of those things that's like, if you're high up or whatever, like you said, like a school, like that's the government. It's like, there's so much like fine stuff like that, that
it's so hard to fight dry. That.
Yeah.
It's not a, it's not an easy thing.
No. So because of all of this, basically sheriff's office, everybody was okay. Case is finally closed. So CNN reached out to the sheriff's office to speak to Chris Prine, who was the main like sheriff, and he agreed to have them come. So I watched it. There's an interview of them getting to his office, and he opens the door for them. So it's like, hey, come on in, blah, blah, blah. And then I don't know if he was caught off guard or didn't know what they were going to ask him. I don't know if they kind of were just wanted to get in the door and then ask. I could see like a reporter doing that, because that's very like sneaky.
Mm-hmm.
But they get into his office, and then the reporter asks about Kendrick, and Chris immediately dismisses it and says he's not going to talk about it. And then he like immediately escorts the team out. So he probably was just caught off guard. So in June 2018, Kendrick's body was exhumed for a second time, and a third autopsy was performed. The findings of the second autopsy that Johnson's death was not accidental and caused by blunt force trauma, likely due to being struck in the head with, they specifically said, a 45-pound dumbbell, which I don't know how you would confirm that, but basically in this autopsy, it was confirmed. Kendrick's parents hoped that with the results of this third autopsy, the surveillance footage, which they were convinced that had been tampered with, and the mishandling of evidence at the scene would be enough to reopen their son's case. But this whole like trying to get it reopened just led to more questions. So in May 2019, the family has filed another suit against the funeral home. There have been no more updates since on the case of Kendrick Johnson. So this was May 2019, and there hasn't really been any updates. But that kind of sucks, because it's like, I feel like they, which in so many situations, it's like they close the case so quickly, and it's like, wait, like it feels like you're almost trying to like catch up and be like, wait, hold on. Like, why are you like so quick to close?
There's a
like,
reason they do that.
I know, but it's so frustrating, dude. Yeah. It's like, if I feel like this was not closed at all. And even in the last thing that they brought up, like literally a third autopsy confirmed even more that he was hit. And it's like, I don't know. There's so much that's like,
the sooner a case is closed, the harder it is to get leverage to reopen it.
Yeah.
And if you are just wanting to get it off your plate, you're going to,
I can't even imagine the frustration of the parents. So there's obviously multiple, like there's a billion theories on the story, but one of the theories was that the, like, if this was a situation where he was bullied and students thought it was funny to put him in there, but then didn't realize that that could be really bad, and then he died, and then students started freaking out like, oh shoot, and then they went back as the people who found him and was like, oh my gosh, you just found a dead body. So, which could happen. Like, I feel like there's so many stories of bullying that ends really bad, and it's like, oh shoot, I didn't realize that would happen. And so that's one of the theories. Obviously, the brothers in general is a theory. Yeah, there's so many different arguments to the story. So what do you think? What do you think happened?
I mean, I don't have any groundbreaking theory. I think that...
But do you... Do you think it was an accident or not is the main thing.
Opinion, if you don't care about my opinion, you can just skip over this because I'm not, obviously, an investigator.
Yeah.
I think what happened was it was boys being silly, teenagers being silly, and thinking it was funny.
Mm-hmm.
And then probably a situation where they flipped him and they... You know when you're in that situation where, or you watch on shows where it's like everyone's kind of going along with it, yep, and no one's willing to be the one to be like, to okay, this it. Isn't funny.
And then it gets everyone to that point. Just
leaves.
Yep.
I think it was probably a situation like that. And then I genuinely think that it was a separate group of people that found him.
You think so?
Yeah.
The only thing that I feel like like, because I thought, okay, is it a situation where he was trying to get something there and then somebody, like, pushed him in there, turned it upside down? But I think someone forced him in there. Like, I don't think
The head first, arms by your side.
That's what...
Even if you had one arm out forward, to finagle it back by your side would be so difficult. I feel like that's definitely a situation where, even if it was like, hey, let us see how far and we can push you, and then they think that's funny.
Yeah.
Whatever. I mean, that's, unless you're there, you don't know.
No.
But I think it's one of those things where it was that, and then probably a game of telephone where it was like, oh, in one of the wrestling mats, and then somebody or a group of people went to look. We don't know when.
Yeah.
No matter what they say, we don't know when. And then
I don't even know if those students were, like, talked to, like, the ones that found him. It's like there was no mention of any, like...
The position I've always held with this case is you're dealing with a school that above the truth, they want to avoid a student being murdered by other students in their school.
Yeah.
The parents of any student that might have a connection the truth want their teenager's life to not be ruined and want...
They don't even want to be mentioned in
to not be connected.
Story.
So you're dealing with the perfect storm of there's many, many, many people and a lot of people in high positions that just want this swept under the rug.
Yep.
And... even if it's not like, oh, I think my kid did it. It's if there's a chance, if there's any connection, I want to avoid this.
That just sucks so bad. It's like, I get wanting to protect your children for, you know, future things to happen to them. But it's also like, you have to realize there's also another parent like mourning the loss of their kid. Like, it's not okay to just think about.
I think too, it's the perspective of people. People are so quick to say, oh, this happened at this school or in this neighborhood, so we need to avoid that at all costs. Instead of understanding that that's society. And so you have, like, in my old neighborhood, there was a man found wrapped in saran wrap in his closet, and it was ruled a suicide, mm-hmm. and he had a gunshot wound. So their theory is he shot himself in the head and then wrapped himself in saran wrap.
Yep.
It was ruled a suicide because they don't want
the neighborhood
that to be noted that there was a murder in that neighborhood. Yeah. So you have all these motives that are, we don't want this to be a strike against us. We don't want our neighborhood to be known as this. Mm-hmm. So people stop moving here or whatever. And if people are motivated by that more than the truth and more than justice, then you're fighting a losing battle.
Exactly.
At the end of
which
the day.
Is just even more frustrating.
So as soon as as soon as you find out it's out of school, it's like, yeah. I mean, unless it's just blatant.
Very obvious. Yeah. Camera footage or whatever.
Camera footage that multiple people saw that we can't alter or whatever.
That's the thing. Even
multiple,
if you have camera footage, but like
we have witnesses that are like, no, I'm not keeping this a secret. I mean, if there's cut and dry proof, there's nothing really that people can do. But if there's any gray area or any way to kind of, because I think even sometimes the school could have the position of, we don't want to, I mean, look at athletes. It's like, we don't want to ruin these kids' lives just because of one thing.
To me, though, it's so crazy to think that, like, if this was a situation where it was stupid boys trying to be silly.
Or girls. And, I mean,
a group of kids doing this because they thought it would be funny. Like, if it's a group of, I don't know, if it was 2, 3, 4 people, like, if I'm one of those people, I don't know how I could live my whole life, like, with this thing, like, to know that, like, no one knows the answers and I know exactly what happened. Like, how do you live like that?
I think it's because the how do I live with everyone hating me because I was a part of that is bigger than how do I live.
Oh my gosh.
And you have pack mentality. You have other people that are like, don't you dare.
But also, I mean, how does that not get out? Like, I feel like that's...
Oh, I think there's many things that happen in high schools that groups of people know about that they say nothing about.
I think I just, my conscious, I could not.
Yeah, no, and that's because you're a good person. And I mean, I think when you're young too... There's a lot is motivated by what people think and not what you think is right and wrong. And I think it's never too late to come out and say the truth of what happened. And I think that that is ultimately people being mad at you and not understanding your actions is not as bad as like living with that.
Yeah.
Personally, in my opinion,
I agree.
I think that, you know, it's never too late to, even though time has passed, it's never too late to be like, hey, here's what happened.
Yeah.
And then it's not your responsibility anymore what happens after that. Just say what happened in your experience.
Give, like, the parents and the family, like, some kind of conclusion. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so that's
that story is Kendrick. Heavy.
It is heavy. It's a sad one. But,
But it, I mean, it points out things that need to be addressed in the way that...
Yeah, for sure. It's not silly to be mean to people or bully people, regardless if it leads to.
I mean, that's
or not,
the biggest message here is even if they weren't involved, like
don't do that.
When you function that way, you will.
You're
there
gonna
will be
get
consequences.
Bad attention. Yeah.
Yeah. Eventually, it will catch up with you.
Yeah.
So my story is short, and I titled it "Romancing of the Toxic Kind."
Whoa.
And you'll see why. Most of my sources were Wikipedia, as usual. Not much on Wikipedia, though.
Interesting.
Which is interesting. And the New York Times had an article by Marguerite, I think is how you say her name, Fox.
Ooh, that's a cool name, actually. Fox.
Yeah. So Linda Riz had just entered her 20s when she met Bert Pugash.
Oh, my gosh.
Did you try this story?
This was the one I was going to do.
Oh,
I told you about this one.
This story is so good.
That's weird. That
okay,
is so
but
weird.
But it's so short. There's only so much
out
there.
Yes, it's very short. But I literally was like, hey, which one do I do? And oh my gosh, that's weird. Okay, anyway.
That's funny. So you know what's coming, but it's such an interesting story.
It's very interesting.
So he was a lawyer based in New York, and she was from the Bronx. Their relationship may have started off great, you know, in the beginning, whatever, romancing. They enjoyed dinners, long drives, and they really liked going to clubs together. But the relationship quickly took a turn when Linda discovered Bert had a wife and a daughter.
Mm-mm-mm.
As always seems to happen, he promised to leave his wife and that he really loved her and he wanted to start fresh with her. But she started to grow impatient as he none of those things and stayed with his wife.
Yep.
And so she broke off the relationship. This is where Bert has a choice to make. He can pursue Linda and leave his wife and daughter, or move on from the affair and try to mend his family, or do what he did and go down a completely different path. When she broke things off with him, he told her he couldn't have her. If he couldn't have her, no one could. And he followed it with, quote, "But when I get through with you, no one else will want you," end quote.
That's so gross.
Linda reported the threats to authorities, but unfortunately, they didn't really do anything.
I mean, I'm not surprised.
I mean, yeah. She did the best she could to move on and started dating a man named Larry Schwartz.
Get it, Linda.
And eventually, they were engaged to be married. When word traveled to Bert, he was livid. I know I'm over here with my wife and child, but can
but
you
I'm
not?
I'm livid. That's so frustrating.
He devised a plan. I don't know the company that he kept, but apparently he had at least easy access to at least three men who agreed to approach Linda and attack. And they attacked her. They threw lye, which is acid, on her face, leaving her blind in one eye, nearly blind in the other, and permanently scarred.
That's so sad. Bert Don't get involved with weird men, ladies.
Or men that say things like...
Yeah.
Which obviously she
which,
left
I mean,
him
she
at that
left,
point.
But like...
And reported it. So
there's
I
no
mean,
way this man was totally
what
normal
you gonna do?
When you're dating him.
Yeah. He seems
I'm sure
like
there were
that
red
type
flags.
That kind of...
Yeah.
I mean, we're not trying to blame her, but still. I mean, eventually you're going to be at the point where you're like, girl, you okay?
I think that's what's in the back of my mind. I'm like, I'm trying to like her right now.
Bert was discovered to be the mastermind. Obviously, I don't think he was
a genius.
I just don't think he was smart enough.
No.
And he didn't mind. I think he kind of wanted her to know that it was from him.
He seems like that kind of guy.
He was convicted and spent 14 years in prison, and during his stay, he wrote Linda constantly.
What about his wife?
I'm sure when he went to prison. It doesn't really say how or when, but they eventually divorced.
Okay.
I'm not sure what he said to her that she would really care to hear after everything he did, but I'm sure he gave her excuses and expressed like his heartache. I went into like this whole rant of saying, I'm sure he expressed his heartache over being disbarred and losing the life he had built. He seems like the kind of guy that would attack someone and then complain to that person about the effect it had on him.
Well, and I heard like originally when she found out he had like a family, like he got more mad at her for finding out than she did of him. And I'm like,
he's a narcissist to the fullest. He was released from prison in 1974. And so I have this note saying, so if you're him, you're released from prison, how do you approach the dating world?
Literally don't. But he's going to go on a freaking spree. You're weird.
Do you like disclose this to women you're dating? Do you?
I mean, I don't, but I feel like he'd be proud of it.
Interesting. Okay. So he decided to wine and dine none other than Linda, who proceeded to break off her engagement and resume her relationship
Linda,
with him.
No, Linda. No. What is they wrong with you?
They then got married and co-wrote a book. What would you title this book?
Acid. If you know, you know.
Just a piece of acid.
You don't know if it's drugs or if it's the acid thrown in my freaking face. Made me blind.
So their title was A Different Love Story.
I can't roll my eyes.
They're so different. And then I put a note saying the only time I would be glad to have this book sitting on my shelf is if I needed to impromptu start a fire. In 1997, Bert was accused of sexual abuse and threatening to kill an unknown, her name is not given, a mistress of 5 years.
While he was with Linda?
Yep.
Oh, Linda, you had your chance.
Who apparently sees their love as different, appeared at his trial as a character witness to him. She said, quote,
I'm sorry, what quote, can you talk to?
You are a wonderful, caring husband. He was convicted of a single count, harassment in the second degree. Now, remember, this is the 90s point. They don't really care that he sexually abused her and whatever.
That he also had multiple different instances where he went to jail for 14
years.
Yeah,
my next note is he just spent 15 days in jail for this. This is a man that hired hitmen to throw acid on a woman and is now on trial for threatening and abusing another, and he spent 15 days in jail.
That's so ridiculous.
Later, Bert would recall the events and explain that he never intended for acid to be involved in the attack. He just wanted the men to beat her up so she would go back to him.
Oh, no big deal. That's okay.
He literally says in an interview, I just wanted them to beat her up so she would come back to me.
What the hell? Like, how is that?
That's not okay either. That is literally not okay.
You could have at least faked it and been like, I just wanted the men to go talk to her. But no, you say, I wanted the men to go beat her up. No. Oh my God.
And this shows that
idiot.
He's either really dumb or he knows
doing.
The world is set up to enable men like him. And he's just okay with people knowing.
I don't think that a majority of in his brain, he thought, oh yeah, throwing acid at her is bad. But beating women up are not bad. Like, I fully think his brain...
She earned that or whatever.
Yeah, like, he doesn't think certain things are bad.
Yeah. So, in 2013, at the age of 75, Linda died of heart failure.
Oh, Linda.
There's a documentary film from 2007 called Crazy Love, produced by Dan Flores. If you want to know more about this story, if you want to get like indigestion, go for it. Bert died in December of 2020.
What? How old is he?
I mean, do the math.
Holy cow.
You know. She was 75. She was 75 in 2013. So yeah.
Wow.
And he was older than
yeah,
her.
Yeah, I would assume so.
Before passing, he spoke of his relationship with Linda and said, quote, "Ours was a storybook romance."
Did he only have one kid with his previous wife?
A daughter, yeah.
I wonder what she, I want to interview her.
She probably cannot stand him.
I want to talk to her. What?
That's my story.
Stupid.
Just to show the insanity of the world we live in. I mean,
Linda,
this woman,
I
like,
mean,
there's...
hey, you made your choice. You knew exactly what you were walking
yeah,
into.
Yeah, I mean, I sympathized with her in the beginning, and then you literally see pictures of them, and she, the other thing is she, okay, after the incident, she always wore sunglasses,
yeah.
And she went on a date with a guy, and the second she took her glasses off, he supposedly ran away.
So she so might think, like...
she constantly wore these... like, if you look at pictures of yeah. them, she's always wearing them. She was very into how she looked and mm-hmm. stuff. And so, obviously, I think that's why he attacked that, because he knew she cared about how
oh, yeah.
she looked. So, which is another sign of, clearly, that's part of his plan.
Yeah.
He's not just wanting them to beat her up. He's wanting
honestly,
to...
honestly, I'm, like, kind of happy for the guy that she was engaged to and left, because you dodged a weird bullet.
Yeah, so, I mean, they...
he could have come after him if they ended up getting married.
I mean, there's, like, pictures of them when they're older, like, sitting in their house. There's
so
that documentary
weird.
There.
I'm surprised they didn't have any kids together.
I'm so happy that they did not
me too, but,
reproduce.
But that's crazy.
Yeah, short story. I've been wanting to do it for a while, but it was so short. So when
yeah.
you said your story was a little longer, I was like, yes.
Yeah. That,
that
would have
been funny if we both
story,
chose that story.
Yeah, it's funny. I told Jan about that story, and he was like, well, there's not too much information. I'm like, I know, but it's just so interesting.
Yeah.
But,
it
yeah,
well, it's just,
it changed my mind.
I can't relate on any level to either one of these people.
It's, like, comical how, like, stupid it is.
Like, it's awful what happened to her, but...
but you knew what you were getting into.
And I think where she lost me, because there are people that are treated that way, and then... for some reason have some kind of attachment to that person. But when she defended him at the second trial
and said he was an amazing husband,
that's where she lost me. Cause you're at that point, someone's coming forward and saying, hey, this happened to me.
And I get like, okay, he did this. Sure. If there was a like miraculous situation where he comes out of jail and is like changed man, like, completely different. But I doubt that in those 20 years that they were together until they found out about the mistress, like, that he was a perfect husband.
Well, even so, you find this out. Clearly, there's
it's
a
like,
pattern.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, yeah.
Clearly, he's this kind of person.
Yeah.
So when you stand next to him, you're showing what kind of person you are as well.
Yep.
So, I mean, I think sometimes we're so quick to be like, don't victim blame, that it's like, okay, but also, you have to be accountable for what you see.
Yeah, you have.
And what
you
do with
options.
That information. And yes, you can be traumatized, but when it starts affecting other people,
yep.
It's
unless, okay, here's devil's advocate.
Yeah.
If there was a situation where he got out of jail, she's super scared that he
yeah,
just did this.
No.
And then he's like, hey, if you don't freaking marry me and stay with me, I'm going to kill you and all
yeah,
your family.
Yeah, and she knows he's capable of that. I fully see that side. And that's kind of the logic. That was the only logic I could grab onto.
Of why she would
go back to him. But when the other lady came forward and that whole situation
happened. She could have still been scared.
Because she could have. Yeah, you're right. I think
if
it's one of those things.
If you're that scared of a man, you know what he's capable of?
You could have said nothing, but the fact that you choose to go up there and say, like, he's such a caring, loving...
He could have told her to say that. Like, I could so see him doing
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and I do think, I will say, at that time, even if she had wanted to get out, there's not a ton of support. Mm-hmm. I can see both sides of it. I
can, too. It's just the way, I feel like, so far, all of I've seen is the way she carried herself didn't seem like she was in,
yeah.
like...
The other aspect is, you're kind of, like, trotting around in the spotlight and, like,
yeah.
doing interviews and, like... constantly in media.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just not feeling it. But I can
I
see,
agree.
I recognize.
Yeah, I can see both ways, too.
I mean, obviously, he's the monster here.
Mm-hmm.
He's the horrible person. I don't know. I heard of a podcast last week that was like, don't call these people monsters because they, that gives them like a, a pass almost.
How?
Like they're, because they're, then they're unhuman.
Oh,
and it's
I
like
get you.
Which I get that logic too. I feel like there's so I many things now where it's like, don't say this, don't say that, don't say.
Yeah, I get that.
But I, it's so inhuman to mm-hmm. be that way. I don't know.
Yep.
Maybe not though. There's a lot of people that act that way. Maybe yeah. that's human. I don't know. That's my story though. And I'm interested to see what the boys have gathered.
All right, what do you got?
Oh, wait, before that, after we get their information, we're going to do a teaser for next week, so stick around to the very end because it'll be interesting.
Okay, so stories today were really, really interesting. They were also very specific and didn't I would say, have the normal tendency to lead us down crazy rabbit holes, but I got like two things for you for the first, for your story, Bella. Sabrina Carpenter was not a Disney star, was not a Nickelodeon star.
Was she Disney?
She was Disney.
That's what I was saying.
I still mix them up in my head, guys. I don't know why.
Also, she doesn't look like
okay attack me.
Thank you.
I think she does.
Valdosta, Georgia.
Yep.
On July 28th, 2008 was voted ESPN's Titletown USA. Was a fully fan-voted thing that they really, really pushed, and they won.
Interesting.
I grew up in a very small town, and let me tell you, these things are huge for small towns, and they mean
it's a claim
literally
to fame.
Nothing. Yeah. My small town was featured on the CBS Night Show. Frick, what is it? Tonight Show with David Letterman.
Oh.
Back when he was the host.
That's cool.
Host right now, I forgot. But anyways, it was like huge. Everyone talked about it, but it was like a 30-second little snippet, and it was like huge. So I felt that. Do you have any notes?
That's great, Jan.
What a great.
Send it over to you, co-host.
So I too kind of struggled with finding some
pull it together, guys.
Facts and tidbits. But I did kind of go down this hole of, like, what is lie? What does lie come from?
No. We're talking about Bella's story.
Oh, I thought we could go out of order.
No, we're doing Bella's story.
We always go in order.
Well, I got nothing for Bella's story. As great as it was, it was.
I got one last.
All right. Back to you, Jan.
Thanks, bud.
Clearly, we are very, you know, kind of free-spirited with this
rigid
process.
Rigid rules, I can see.
I'm saying the opposite.
So, those mats, Steven can talk about this for sure with me, but,
what?
Just to speak about something personal, our church does meet at a high school, and sometimes we have to store
stuff. We are getting way too specific about our lives.
I mean, is that too specific? I can stop.
No, go for it.
Okay. Basically, sometimes we have to store some church equipment in a closet that has these kinds of mats.
Yep.
And I can tell you, it doesn't take much to tip them over.
Tip them over, yeah, I would say.
And so what I'm trying to say is, just my opinion, I mean, I looked it up, like, the heaviest ones are, like, 800 pounds, but those are, like, 42 feet by 42 feet, and most high schools don't have that. What's very common is that they're about 6 feet wide.
Yeah.
And, like, 20
yeah,
feet
the
long.
Yeah, the one was 6 feet wide.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't take much to tip that over. And if I'm, like, stuck there, if I'm trying to reach into one of those things, first of all, I have seen how tightly they are packed. You cannot fit a human.
Exactly.
Like, you're not just going to, oh, shoot, I slipped in this. Like, that's not
going to
happen.
Yeah, you're not going to try to get in.
Yeah, and if
then,
you did, you would just rock
and
fall over.
Yeah, I would literally just rock
over
back and forth. And then even if, like, I was stuck all the way to my feet, I feel like you might still be able to leverage yourself somehow. And
just rocking back and forth.
There has to
be. For sure.
Unless this was a situation which, again, I did not see the videos, but there are detailed videos on where it was. Unless it was a situation where one of the mats was, like, against other mats, and so you couldn't move it.
I can see that.
You know what
but
I mean? Because I have seen them when they're all bunched together. I've tried,
for
like,
sure.
moving
that,
like them,
that
and they're
sense.
Hard.
That does make sense. But
I still feel like you could get enough momentum to, like,
but also
push.
You can, yeah.
But
like,
if they're leaning against other ones is what I'm saying.
If they're if you're, like, in the middle of a stack of six or something, I can see how that
would be. So you're looking for, how would you know that something you're looking for is even in that? If it's in the middle of all of
because
that.
Because you put it in there.
Okay, I'm usually...
So then you would just move the other ones out of the way.
You would think, but I mean, I don't think it's an accident. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying I can see a situation where it could be really hard.
Yeah, to get out there's of that. There's no way. And also, like,
from the pictures, Stephen pulled them up. From the pictures, he was on the outside.
Yeah,
of the mat. There was not other ones.
It's absolutely ridiculous. Yeah. It is 100% what you were saying.
It's actually definitely a cover-up.
It's not 100%.
Okay, I can't say 100%, sorry. I'm not used to this. But what I'm trying to say
is that... They're going to be on Reddit like, he said it's 100%.
Okay, guys. We're literally just like... people.
If you I'm sorry. I just want to say, if you spend your time on Reddit nitpicking podcasts, like, go ahead and do it better yourself. Like, I'm sorry. I'm over people.
It's 100% your opinion.
Yes,
that,
100% my opinion that this guy did not randomly fall in their head first.
With his arms by his side.
That just annoys the junk out of me. Like, I'm not usually annoyed by stories because I'm like... Maybe, honestly, I'm kind of like I'm a sensitive soul, and I'm more like, oh, that's so sad. I don't really want to listen to the story anymore. But this story just made me mad. Like, I cannot believe
How his family feel. Yeah. That's
like,
awful.
That's ridiculous.
And that's why you start reacting so, like,
it frustrates me so
throwing
much.
Throwing things everywhere because you're mad.
Anyways, sorry. I have one quick note for yours. You spelled, you pronounced your name correctly. It's Marguerite.
Nice.
I'm so happy.
I went on a deep dive trying to find an interview of her, and she had a Google talk where she said, "Hi, I'm Marguerite Fox," and I was like, "Ooh,
girl, I took that so seriously, and I was like, what? And I feel like I've heard it before. I'm very proud of myself.
That's awesome.
Good job. Good job.
Thanks.
What you got, Steven?
Well, I'm gonna talk a little bit about lie once again. Yeah, hit the rewind button. Some of you guys might know this. I don't know. I did not know what lie was. I have heard of lie before, but I didn't know what it was. So, without getting too scientific, it's an alkaline liquor obtained by leaching wood ashes with water.
Interesting.
Yeah. Huh. I guess it's also commonly used for washing and in soap making.
Interesting. I had no idea.
Oh, and it says that it can... it can damage the skin and eyes in dry or wet form.
Oh, that's so painful.
Ow.
Yeah. Oh, and it can harm the lungs. So I wonder if she had lung damage.
Maybe. Ouch.
Yeah, our stories were very, like, specific.
Yeah, there's not much you could go off of. But good job, guys.
I did find that if you want a hardcover copy of a very different love story... you could do so on Amazon for $83.96.
No way!
Do not!
Okay.
No way!
Okay. I'm going to jump in here. I'm pretty sure the only reason it's so expensive is because it's a limited release.
Very limited.
Well,
not because it's necessarily...
It
well, because they probably printed like a couple hundred. And
well, here's the thing too. They're both dead now.
Yeah.
So I would buy it. Imagine a world where the proceeds went to his daughter. I would buy that junk in a heartbeat.
That would be amazing.
I would buy that junk
because
in a heartbeat.
Because where do the proceeds go right now? They didn't have any kids other than him having his daughter. That would be interesting.
Oh my gosh. Does it really have a 5-star rating?
It does.
We need to read this, guys.
We need to pause this podcast as quick as possible and dive deep into those reviews. There's going to be some weird people in those reviews.
That's so funny. Well, we'll keep you updated if we end up spending $83 on a book, but most likely not. Okay, so... oh, yeah, so next week's episode, we have a twist where basically the guys are going to give us a topic on what our stories have to be about, and we're going to flip a coin to see who they assign that to.
Yep.
So who wants to go first? Oh, he has a coin. So
heads or tails.
Wait, you have to say what it is first. Wait, are you going
no,
first?
No, you're assigning it to one of us.
Yeah.
But you have to say what it is first.
This is chaotic.
All right, I'm just going to take the reins here and assign some rules to this coin flip.
Oh,
okay. This is. I just want to put on record, I have never been this forceful on this podcast.
No, I got a little confused, so I'm just going to lay it out there.
And we'll tell you if we are okay with it or not.
My story, goes to whoever, my story goes to heads, okay?
What?
So,
what?
No. Ashley, call heads or tails.
Wait, that doesn't make any sense.
I know. So okay. Honestly, I got a little confused along the way.
You literally.
So what you would do is you're gonna flip the coin.
A little bit flustered.
Flip the coin.
Not meant for podcasts.
Flip the coin. I'll call it. If I'm right, your story goes to me. If I'm wrong, your story goes to Bella.
But before you flip it, say what your topic is.
How are you?
No, reveal after.
Why?
Because when you find out who it is. Yeah, okay. We are totally, this is like very, yeah, sorry.
Okay, go for it.
All right. She's calling it. Flip it. Yeah. Don't miss. You call it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Just got to make sure I'm doing this right.
Tails.
It's heads.
All right, Bella.
So well, now you find out your story.
Okay. What
okay.
Is it? Well, your topic.
Well, so I'm a pretty big baseball fan.
Oh, Lord.
Good luck. There's actually a lot.
Okay.
And so I would like a crime centered around a baseball player.
Okay.
Okay. I can send you, there's a podcast called Crime in Sports.
Oh.
And I can send you it. They probably covered some really good baseball. Because they do smaller like athletes mm-hmm. too.
Shout out.
Lesser known.
Crime in Sports.
All right. Interesting.
Crime in Sports. I love them. They're very dark humor. Ooh.
But I specifically want baseball.
Baseball, yeah. That's what I'm saying. You can look for a baseball story that they've covered. Yeah, they'll tell you.
Okay. That's the one with the bat.
I'm going to come back with a softball story.
Don't mansplain her.
If it is not baseball, I send it back.
What if it's softball?
No, baseball.
No,
baseball.
It was a joke. I just said that to
I'm not going to lie. You said softball for a second. I thought it was like an innuendo, and I was like,
oh,
what the heck?
Oh.
I forgot that
anyways,
was a sport.
Anyways, okay.
I'm really tired.
Wow.
So, yeah.
We don't have to flip a coin.
Funny thing, mine is similar but completely different.
Oh, you're such.
In that, I want you to research and tell an interesting crime story in the world of esports.
Okay.
Wow. So we're gonna have a sport themed podcast.
All right, they're like give the people what they want. Seeing as it's mostly men that listen to us, they're probably really excited.
I guess tune in next week for a sports episode.
I'm going to have to get really, really wasted.
I'm going to learn so much stuff. What's baseball even?
Oh my gosh. I just want to cry.
The most boring
I'm
sport.
Joking, guys.
No, you
I'm
have to
totally
break down every game they play.
I'm girl about this. But, okay, yeah. I think, do we have anything else?
Email us at shadowcrime@gmail.com and hope you have a nice day.
Have a nice day. Wait, yeah. Email us a sports story.
Oh yeah.
Did cool. you even did we check the email?
Yeah, I didn't get it.
Okay.
Anything.
Guys, pull it together. Whatever. I'm gonna start playing hard to get with them. I'm not even gonna talk about
don't
the email.
Don't send us a story.
Yeah, don't we would anything. Really hate it if you sent us a story.
Okay,
all right, love you guys.
Yeah,
bye.
It's run its course. Bye.